Welcome to this edition of the Ute Talk Podcast. Also, as always, I'm Grant Bagby from Torn by Sports.
And I'm Joseph Silverswag of Rivals.com and a number of other ventures.
Too many to list, honestly. And joining us in studio is Ute alum and overseas basketball player Jason Washburn. How's it going, Jason?
Not too bad, guys. How's everyone doing?
Doing well.
I love it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming. Absolutely. We appreciate it. Well, feel free to chime in, of course, but we're going to start with our quick hitters as usual. And first up is Kuzma Watch. I don't know if you've been looking at the stat line too much, Joseph.
Crazy.
He obviously has been rocking the NBA pretty well, but it seems like the rookie wall is in effect.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I just pulled up his stat sheet, so, and he had a two-point game a couple days
ago. Yeah, on 16 minutes, 2 points. I mean, look, he's played twice as many games as he played last year. It's clearly in effect. And, you know, but there was a sign of hope against the Suns, although the Suns are not that great of a basketball team. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully, you know.
It's kind of like playing an empty gym, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's what it has been.
I played in some of those. That sounds about right. No, he's going to be okay. I mean, we got to remember that. I mean, the day he was drafted, the announcer, I remember listening to him talk about Kuzma and how he'll never be a three-point shooter and never be a good player in the NBA. So I think so far he's passed everyone's expectations. And, the rookie year, even my rookie year overseas, you know, the long season really starts to add up. And I got full confidence that he'll get it back. He'll keep going. No, I know him personally. You know, I've talked to him several times. You know, he's just a kid that absorbs all knowledge. He goes to all his resources and absorbs as much as he can. So I have full confidence he'll bounce back from everything.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How long are the seasons you play?
They're actually, the length of time expands longer than an NBA season, but we still play half as many games. Okay. One game a week. It can be a drag.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah. Overseas. In Japan, it was a little different. It was every Saturday, Sunday. So it was double the games, still 20 games less than the NBA, but still a longer season.
Interesting. Okay. You have long weeks in between.
It is long weeks of practice. They're a grind. They're a real grind over there. A lot of grind over there, man. Don't take care of you quite the way they do in the U.S. or in college. But it's still an amazing experience. You know, I've been to 30 countries, you know, on almost every continent. So I'm not going to sit here and complain about where basketball's taking me.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Cool. I mean, ultimately, he's got the All-Star break coming up. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, they'll let him get his legs back under him, and, you know, he'll burst through that rookie wall afterwards. I would expect a recovery. It's just you can kind of really clear in these stat numbers that's, like you said, it's wearing down.
I mean, even the greats have their times where they go a little low. You know, depending how good you are, some people's lows are still some people's highs, but you know, he's a rook, you know, who's, I think, is really, you know, just a student of the game, all right? And I think he'll look at this the way, as far as I know him, he looks at everything else and learn from it and bounce back and keep going.
For sure. Well, moving on the quick hitters, a couple other items to hit. Lady Utes split the weekend with Colorado. They faced Stanford and Cal this week. Stanford, I believe, is ranked 17th, so it's a good game for them. Hopefully they can bounce back. They've kind of had a turbulent time, shall we say, the last few games with Oregon State, and then the loss to Colorado.
Yeah. But they're, I don't know, it's similar in a lot of ways to the men's season with a lot of up and downs, and the potential is really visible, but there's still pieces missing that they're just not always able to compensate for. I want to talk a little bit about gymnastics.
Yeah,
she's not technically a guest because she's got a little baby and she's taking care of the little baby over there. But Beth Rizzo is actually also here in the studio. She and Jason are happily married. Yeah. And
going on 4 years.
Awesome. You still happy, babe? Congratulations, man.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
And I don't know if you guys know her, but I remember when I was going to Red Rocks meets a few years ago, seeing Beth on the floor. She was a walk-on, then All-American, right?
Mm-hmm. Eventually earned my scholarship, but thank you for saying it was only a few years ago.
No, that was
a decade.
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
So it's cool to have her here, and then the Red Rocks continue their dominant run through the Pac-12. Most of the meets aren't necessarily very competitive. There was some problems with the scoring. The last one, there seems to be a little bit of a higher standard for some of the Red Rocks competitors who are.
Well, it's been interesting when you get, what was it, I think 6-10s got handed out over the weekend on Saturday. And so then you have what happened to Washington. But, either way, the Utes won. And they face ASU this week, so it should be another win. But I did want to bring a new aspect to when we review our gymnastics meets. And Matthew Jacks on Twitter, if you follow him, or Jakes is how it's pronounced, excuse me. You can get me on Twitter if you want. But he likes to translate football gymnastics to football, like right? You've probably seen it, Joseph. And I thought we should just start reading it since most of our listeners are mainly football fans and basketball fans. So after the final rotation, it was 197.7 to 196.25, which is a pretty big win. And so he translated it to football with Skinner and Merrill Giles each score TDs in the fourth, and Utah cruises the 42-20 win. So,
a little easier to understand.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, look, it was funny. I was watching it at home with a friend, with my sister-in-law, and she's like, "Wow, it's really close." And I was like, "Actually, that's not close at all. That is a pretty good obliteration." So that's why I wanted to bring this into our gymnastics talk, I guess. All right. But moving on. We have Jason here. We should probably talk to him a little bit more.
Makes sense.
I'm enjoying listening to you guys. You guys do your thing. I can sit here and argue gymnastics versus basketball all day. I get in arguments with my wife about it all the time.
That's been an ongoing four-year argument?
You know.
Almost 9 years now.
You know, gymnasts in general are by far the best, some of the best athletes I've ever seen. I mean, I've traveled all over the world, and, you know, I run into a lot of egotistical guys who, you know, think that they can do this, they can do that. And I can really put their egos in check with what my wife can do. And, you know, she'll sit here and tell me she was never that good of a gymnast. I'm not going to claim to be a gymnastics expert. But my wife was, you know, earned her scholarship, was an All-American as a walk-on, one of the only ones to ever do it here at the top university. And if that doesn't speak to her athleticism and her abilities, then, you know, I'm not really sure what does. She's 10 times the athlete I am. And, you know, it was a lot of fun watching her for the short time I got to. And I love watching the Red Rocks. I'm not sure I understand anything. You know, these girls will do some amazing things. And I'm like, whoa, that's insane. And then my wife will say, nope, that, you know, she did this, this, and this. I'm like, what? Like, she just did the flip in 3 turns in the air. Like, I can't even do a handstand. But
I can't count the turns, personally. Are you guys going to the meet this weekend, by chance?
Yeah. It's the alumni meet. That's
yeah.
why.
Yeah, no.
Another reason to be in town.
It was just a perfect weekend. The alumni meet on Friday, surrounded by 2 basketball games. It just kind of
worked out.
Yeah, worked out. Perfect. Cool. Unfortunate injury that got us in the States in the first place, but it's kind of all worked out. I mean, it'll be his first time seeing a basketball game since being done here, a Utah basketball game. And it'll be my first time seeing a gymnastics meet in person in 5 years. We usually have to wait until 2 in the morning to have to watch. And we do. Yeah. We sit there on our computers and we watch live stream and we find ways to watch the Utah athletic events.
Nice. But
it'll be nice to see everything.
Well, Jason, I've got good news for you. Before each event in gymnastics now, they tell you what to look for.
Oh, okay.
So your gymnastic knowledge is going to double at least this Saturday.
I love it. I love it. But, you know, no matter their deductions, anything like that, you know, gymnasts are by far some of the best athletes, you know, all around, you know, speed, power, flexibility, athleticism. They're some of the best that I've ever ran into, and that's not much of a compare. Pound for pound, my wife might be one of the strongest people I've ever encountered, and I've been around. So, you know, it's going to be fun going to watch them again live. It's an amazing team. You know, they're always top 10. They're always top 5. So, you know, it speaks volumes for 40 years of Utah, 40 plus years of Utah gymnastics always being top. So,
for sure,
can't wait to see them.
All right. Well, you know, with it being signing day, I know you were recruited once. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I coached Boylan. Some people like to try to forget that time in Utah basketball history. But speaking of that, you know, Chris Koviak took over, and I assume you probably hosted some basketball players. So I was curious. I've never heard someone talk about what it's like to host. I'd love to hear maybe you got a story of maybe you hosted a player or two and what that's like, and how much of an impact do you think it has on recruiting?
You don't have to name names.
Well, scandalous. No, no, absolutely. I mean, just to throw some names out, I mean, Parker Van Dyke, who's on the team now, I remember when he came on his trip. I was there. Jordan Loveridge used to come to our, you know, I was there when he came to one of our camps, and he was in eighth grade, you know, and I was there. And hosting, I mean, it's a presentation, or you want to put your best foot forward. Without, you know, lying, you know, to any of these kids that come in. But it's a presentation, you know, putting your, you know, showing them what they have to look forward to and what they can possibly bring. Yeah. And so it has a huge effect. You know, it's not just the coaches showing them facilities and everything like that. You're going to be their teammates. You're going to be their family for however many years they play there. So you want them to feel welcome. You know, so we try to be around them, interact with them, maybe take them out, show them some things about the city. And it 100% has an impact.
Okay. I mean, we've kind of talked about it a little bit beforehand, before we started recording, but I just, you know, wanted to hear your thoughts. We've got, you know, a big scandal. Obviously, you were overseas. But the NCAA had, you know, four assistant coaches get arrested. Mm-hmm. There's a plenty of pay-to-play almost type scandal that's going on. I wanted to hear, you know, what your thoughts are and maybe give you an opportunity to tell us whether we all believe Utah's clean, but how clean is Utah? What, do you have anything?
I can honestly sit here and say without any bad feelings that I was never offered any pay, and I can very confidently say none of my teammates were ever offered any pay. You know, unfortunately, I mean, I'm glad the NCAA caught on to this scandal. I'm glad it was exposed. The unfortunate side of it is I think it happens more than people even know. You know, maybe people don't want to know, you know, whatever the reason is that it's not uncovered, but I think it happens more than people know. You know, I can't sit here and say I know for sure. So I won't call out, you know, specific programs or, you know, conferences or anything like that. But, you know, I always just find it funny when people get super shocked about this and like, oh my gosh, how is this thing going on? Because it does happen more than people understand. And it's an unfortunate part of the game. You know, it's an unfortunate side of the business. I don't know if you want to call it politics. I don't know if you want to call it whatever it is. But, you know, you got these big time kids, and some of them come out of situations, you know, that probably aren't the best. You know what I mean? Whether it's home life, whatever it is. And, you know, a couple bucks here or there will persuade them, you know, will persuade them to come join a program. And it's unfortunate that's how it has to happen. But I think it does happen more. I wasn't able to catch up with all the details. Like I said, I just found it funny that people got so shocked. I'm glad it was caught. I'm glad it was uncovered, the extent of it. It's unfortunate that a couple of them were in our own conference.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not such an uncommon thing in NCAA basketball.
You know, ultimately, I guess I wasn't surprised myself. Mm-hmm. There was definitely some shock. But, yeah, the FBI definitely exposed things. I mean, people were legitimately arrested and having to deal with the legal implications of doing something like that. Something like that, if I could speak. But yeah, I guess I was just intrigued to hear about it from an actual player. Like, as much as I love to play basketball, I'm not that great at basketball. So whether
some might argue I wasn't either there, Grant.
Oh,
so
I completely disagree with that comment. I'll never
Grant
forget it.
Jason one-on-one. Yeah. To see what happens.
So he
give us some time to recover from the Achilles tear. We got this.
With the Achilles.
No, come on. I refuse to believe that. No, and like I'm the type of guy, I'm not gonna sit here and because I don't know all of the details. You know, we know what we can read, we know you know what people will put out there. But as a professional athlete, and a college athlete, so many things happen behind the scenes, not just with scandals, but you know, so many things happen behind the scenes that you know, I'm not going to sit here and make any claims, but it does happen more than people understand.
Yeah.
You know, if you really were to take a hard look at some kids who, you know, really, it just happens more than people understand. That's the best I can say on that subject.
All right. Well, let's look at the basketball season at hand. Unfortunately, rough week last week for Utah basketball. Tough loss to Colorado. And, you know, one question I really wanted to ask you is we've had a couple peaks and valleys, right? We had the Oregon trip where the Utes did great, you know, followed by the SoCal trip, which was pretty ugly to watch. And then, you know, once again, really good games at Arizona, beat Arizona State in overtime, have a shot to beat Arizona at the last seconds, and then, unfortunately, the Colorado game. So as a player, how do you deal with that kind of roller coaster of a season? Or how did you deal with it?
Man, throughout my career, it seems like that's all it was. It was just highs and lows, and sometimes a lot more lows than highs. And it can get tiring. It can get fatiguing. But one thing I do know about Coach K is he's one of the best coaches I've ever had at knowing how to keep you engaged. You know, everyone has bad games. You know, bad games come and go for the best of us. And, you know, it makes it a lot easier when you have a coach who knows how to motivate each individual player. You know, he didn't just treat us all, at least while I was there, all like the same. You know, he didn't talk to me the way he talked to Brandon Taylor or Jared Dubois or all these guys. And it's part of the game. And especially as you mature, you understand that. What our team has shown is that they can compete when they're at their best. I mean, we always seem to compete with Arizona down in Tucson for as long as we've been in the Pac-12. I mean, I didn't play a game down there. I played down there twice, and we were within winning. We were supposed to win. You know, we should have won. Should have won at least once and could have won the second time. And, you know, this past weekend was no, 2 weeks ago was no different. And it's always encouraging to see those types of things. I think we do well and we beat teams that we might should have, with the exception of maybe Colorado, but we went up there and handled Oregon. USC is really good. UCLA is really good. Yep. And that was ugly. And I mean, when I went down there, it was no different my junior year. But one thing I know is our coaching staff, they know how to keep our guys going in the same direction. They know how to hold us together. Coach K is the type of guy, no one guy is too big to be brought down. You know, no one guy is ever going to get too full of himself. No one guy. And watching these guys, I think it's a great group of guys. Bivens does a real good job of being such a team guy. And, you know, when he fouled out of Arizona State, you know, overtime, he was so engaged the rest of the game. And having guys like that helps these types of roller coaster seasons. And, you know, we got some good seniors. They're going to be okay. I'm looking forward to watching them in person this weekend. You know, we got a couple solid teams coming in that I think we should be able to handle.
Yeah, no, there's a great opportunity for not only good games to watch, but these are good opponents, but that we should be able to handle, right?
Absolutely.
Like you said, we should be able to get some W's. I mean, if we could just get the streak to start, I feel like the rest of the season could go really well for the Utes.
Absolutely.
I mean, you mentioned the rough seasons you went through. I mean, some of the roughest in history. I mean, I mentioned to a couple of my friends that we are going to have you in studio today, and they were, you know, I had to remind them because they were rough seasons. Personally, I'll never forget when you guys were in the Pac-12 tournament and made that run.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a great run. Mm-hmm. I think that's ultimately what is, you know, kind of kick-started mm-hmm. this program. So you deserve mm-hmm. some credit, man.
I don't know about that. I've heard that a couple times, and I always appreciate it. I mean, you put it lightly. I mean, it was the worst season in Utah history. I mean, we went, 6-25, I believe it was. And that's not something I say lightly. I mean, that season, you want to talk about rough seasons, that season tested me mentally, emotionally, physically in a way that I never thought possible. Luckily, I had Coach K and some of those coaches to keep me going, because I'm not, you know, it was hard to go into practice and into games every day knowing what the outcome might have been. I mean, we just didn't have the talent. A lot of people say we overachieved with 6 wins. And you know what? We might have. I mean, we didn't even finish last in the Pac-12, and I'm still to this day not sure how that was possible. Because we just didn't have the talent. We had 4 returners. One got hurt, another one left in the middle. But and my story's kind of a beating a dead horse at this point. You know, everyone always wants to talk about it, and I don't like to focus on it because we're moving so much forward and with our program, and it, so many good things are happening with our program. But speaking for me personally, that Pac-12 run especially, I mean, I'd never won a tournament game before. Mm-hmm. And so the first one was amazing. And then we beat Cal the way we did. Oh, you know, JD hitting that shot and then just running away with it in overtime. And then, you know, it was so heartbreaking to look. Because, you know, when we beat Cal, we actually, in the locker room, what the sense was, we're two games away from the NCAA tournament. Like, really? We weren't even supposed to beat USC. Like, according to everyone else, we were the underdogs in that game.
Of course.
And all of a sudden, we were two games away from the – and Oregon came out, and I think they remembered that we beat them pretty good in our home – in our season finale.
Yeah,
and they came out with a chip on their shoulder like a top-ranked team should, and they handled us pretty good. But, you know, everyone said that helped kickstart the program, and I hope it did. I don't know how much it did. I really hope it did. You know, ever since then, we've been on the uprise, and that's always – I'm just proud of the program now. You know, 3 first-round draft picks 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I'm just so proud of where our program's going. I love the fact that our coaches are still together. I think that says something about our program, too. We don't have quite as many transfers as we did when I was there. I mean, I had 50-something teammates. Yeah, I did an article about it once. Same. Yeah, you know, I had 50, I think it was 55 teammates.
Wow.
But our guys stick together now. You know, we got guys staying through their senior years, and that speaks volumes to our program, our coaches, and the direction we're moving.
Okay, well, what would you say – let me phrase this. So the Utes are in a tough spot to make the NCAA,
mm-hmm.
right? It's gonna take some really good wins mm-hmm. and probably a tournament run
mm-hmm.
to make that happen. But if you had to choose, you know, a one-loss trip to the NCAA, I think I know where you're going to answer this, but – or, you know, a top seed in NIT, where would you go?
I mean, the only time I stepped foot in the NCAA tournament, I was a red shirt. Mm-hmm. So if I could do it all again, I'd go to the NCAA tournament, personally. But that's just because I'd never been there. A lot of the guys on this team have. So their perception might be different. Because it says something just to be in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's elite company. You know what I mean? Whether you did it by winning your regular season or winning your conference, you know, that's what makes college basketball. You know what I mean? So I personally would say the NCAA tournament. But, I mean, it's not like there's any shame in being in the NIT and making a run in the NIT. You know, at Kuzma's last year, we were in the NIT, and we probably should have made a good run there. And I think if those guys could take it back, they'd want to run. But, you know, it's up to you. I never got to the NCAA tournament. Heck, I was happy to win a conference tournament game.
Right.
So, and then to come so close my senior year, I'd take the NCAA tournament personally.
Okay. No, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah, because we were always talking about
the
program, right? But you're not really thinking about the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess that most of them would say, I want to go to the dance,
man. I mean, that's what you always talk about when you're a kid, and then when you talk about getting there, then you talk about making that Cinderella run that you know, we see every year.
Making
the
shot.
And the problem, and the problem with the NIT, like, as far as prestige go, and the way we all view it, is that if you don't make it too far, who talks about it? You know what
that's
I mean?
True.
If you don't, you know, Kuzma, you know, we were what were we ranked winning the NIT, Kuzma's last year? I don't even remember.
I think we were a 4 or 5.
Yeah, it wasn't a low seed.
It was a top seed.
Yeah, it was a high seed, and then we lost, and it's like, oh, well, season's over. We made it to the NIT. That's cool. But, like, to say, I mean, when I went to the NCAA tournament, that team, at the time, we were the highest-ranked Mountain West team to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, we went into the highest-ranked team, and then, you know, Jimmer came around, and BYU took that title. But, but they, you know, we still went to the NCAA tournament at the highest seed at that point, and that was something to be said. And so, like, you know, it's kind of a toss-up. It depends on how you view it. You know what I mean? The NIT, if you lose in it, they say, oh, well, you lost in the NIT. Who cares? Going to the NCAA tournament, that's something that can never be taken from you.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything? Hey, Joseph, I've been doing a lot of questioning and talking here. What do you got? Anything?
I got a couple things.
Talk to me.
Just random stuff. Do you follow the Olympics at all? I mean, it's same time zone or close to the same time zone.
Summer, winter, both?
Winter, because it's coming up in a couple.
Oh, because we talk about the winter.
We're going to exercise it tomorrow.
Yeah. Is it? I haven't been following it. I'm not going to lie. I don't follow the Winter Olympics quite as much. Uh-huh. I probably will a little this year just because I am home. Uh-huh. And it'll be a lot easier to keep up with it. But for the most part, I don't follow Winter Olympics. But what do you got?
Summer for the gymnastics. And the
yeah, I mean, my wife loves watching gymnastics, the basketball, yeah. You know, also the swimming. I always love the swimming competitions. So, yeah, I mean, but I do enjoy the Olympics.
All right. Well, anyway, I was hoping that we had a little big thing, and that's all I've got.
My apologies. So. My apologies.
No, that's okay. No, that was it. That was it. I was hoping for like a 5-minute Olympics talk.
What would you have asked me if I'd have said I followed it? Let's go from there.
One thing I was curious about when I was looking you up is it was saying you're Bulgarian.
Oh, okay.
And Belgian, Brussels. I was wondering if you're eligible for, or if there's any noise about in a couple of years, a national team for one of the
Well, that's actually an interesting story about how I'm actually, my family's not Bulgarian.
Oh, okay. Say, Wikipedia lied.
Well, no. Wikipedia did not lie, because I still have a Bulgarian passport. So, okay. Legally, I am Bulgarian.
Okay.
I actually got that. I was playing in Kosovo.
Okay.
2 years ago. 2 or 3 years ago. And we were in an international league. And one of the teams we played, he was the head coach. One of the Bulgarian teams we played, he was the head coach of the Bulgarian national team.
Okay.
And the way Europeans work is they can take, when their national teams gather and they start playing their European tournaments, a lot of teams will take Americans, give them passports.
Okay.
And then use them in their national teams. And it works for Americans because there's some countries over in Europe where you can only have like 2 Americans on the team.
Okay.
But me, I don't count as an American.
Because you're playing on a European.
Because I can play on a European. No, because I'm playing with a European passport. Okay. So we can have those 2 Americans that we're legally allowed to have plus me.
I see.
And they view Americans as like, if you're the American on the team, you're one of the better guys on that team. Uh-huh. So to them, it's we got 3 good players when we're only allowed 2. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how I ended up with the passport. And, you know, I assume your follow-up, you know, if the, you know, Bulgaria plays in the Olympics, I don't know. I don't think they will. You know, Bulgaria isn't really known for their basketball on the international level. You know, I did play on the Bulgarian national team for a summer. It was a fun experience. It was, you know, it was a lot of fun. We played the Ukraine national team, the Kosovo national team, and the Slovenian national team.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Dragic from?
No, I think that's
Slovenia. That's right, right? Yeah, I'm losing my mind here. So we played those guys, and, you know, it was an amazing experience. And, yeah, I have my Bulgarian passport. You know, if you look online, it says I'm Bulgarian. And I've actually gotten a lot of questions about that. Like, which one of your family's from Bulgaria? No one's from Bulgaria, but I do have a passport from there. I'm a legal citizen, so.
Cool. Yeah, no, there's actually a lot of American basketball players because, mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, for a lot of basketball players, the U.S. is really good in basketball,
yeah.
And we have a few players that
mm-hmm.
might be slightly better than all of us.
Right? Just a couple.
In a few.
In my dreams, I'm up there with the best of them. But you know what?
Hey,
that's another story.
Well, Jason, I really appreciate the time. Hopefully, you get to see some Utah wins this weekend.
Absolutely.
As you're in town.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so good
and
to have you, man.
Son was born 2 months ago. I had to bring him to show him his home in 18 years.
That's
you
right.
Know? He can go where he wants, but we're going to steer him in that direction.
What's his name?
Wade.
Wade Joseph. All right.
Yeah. Well, so
that's a good name. Good strong name.
I know. We thought so too. we thought so too. 2.5 months. It was just the perfect weekend to come in and show them what mom and dad used to do. So
nice. Well, with your height, her athleticism.
We're hoping he's going to be a machine. Absolutely.
All right.
Balling.
Nice.
All right.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Jason. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was fun.
All right. Well, we really appreciate Jason's time today. And
that was
he came
so
inside.
Cool. That was so cool. Now
hopefully
that he's not here, that man is enormous. Like he's 7 feet tall and his hands are like hams. It's out of control. Anyway.
Well, either way, thanks for listening, Jason. We appreciate it.
Hi, Jason. You're a very large person. It was nice to meet you.
But now that we got that, there's another big event that most of you have really wanted to listen to, which is our thoughts on recruiting and the signing class. And ultimately, it seems, based on the coverage I followed, because, you know, as much as I'm not a huge recruiting guy, I will follow it and see what happens. We're definitely landed some potential stars, some impact players, Solomon Innes. And then I'm really intrigued to see what Yasemin, however you pronounce it. I haven't seen the pronunciation guide. So from Australia, who looks like a beast, like who really could play some amazing. I mean, I've seen that he's a defensive end recruit. I've seen that he's a tight end recruit. I don't know what he's going to do, but he looks amazing on the rugby film.
He's a freak athlete. His size and speed are all amazing. And he's not developed yet. Like, he's not that buff. He's not that big yet. I could easily see him putting on 20, 30 pounds when he starts to get big like the football players get. Yeah. You know, big shoulders, big arms, and all that stuff. Because, you know, he's there's no doubt that he's an athlete, but he hasn't been exposed to that kind of strength training yet. And I could see him being an absolute nightmare on either end of the ball, either as a tight end or a defensive end, at 265 without having to work at it too much. I mean, he's very, very impressive. Legit 4.5 speed, legit 6.5. I mean, he's actually that big and that fast, and his instincts in the field are amazing.
It's going to be fun. I'm intrigued to see what he develops into.
And people are comparing him to Threaten Plum a lot. But the thing about Threaten was he was a center is the name of the position that he played in rugby, which towards the interior of the line, sort of a push. About pushing strength and moving the line, maybe equivalent to a guard or a center on the offensive line. And so his size wasn't really a great fit for his instincts. He was a little undersized to be an interior lineman, but his instincts were the instincts, and his training was that of an interior lineman. Yasemin is built like a tight end, built like a defensive end, and those are the kinds of things he was doing on the rugby field, so that's what he feels natural doing. And you can throw in the ball and get him in space, and he's really impressive. Yeah. Watch his rugby film. He's hard to bring down, and he's quick, and his feet are quick. You teach him a few routes, he'll be a nightmare, or you line him up across from a tackle. He's got these really, really long arms, long legs, very strong, incredibly fast. It's really very exciting. They lucked out. And as soon as they offered him, UCLA, USC, and Washington all showed up. I mean, instantly, because everybody watches Utah to see what they're doing, especially overseas, especially the Pacific. Yasemin is Australian, but Utah's recruiting all over there. But they were sneaky enough about it and quick enough about it. I kept having the rivals guys be like, so there's this guy, but you can't even say his name. Don't even follow him on Twitter. Don't even mention that he exists because he is so good. And we didn't. And here we are with a really great, exciting athlete.
Well, I don't think you're excited enough, for one. No, I'm kidding. But I guess ultimately, it's exciting. I mean, I guess our biggest in-state recruit is going to announce in like 8 minutes from when we're recording.
Yeah, this is Penae Sewell.
Yeah, exactly. And so here's my one take when it comes to recruiting. If he chooses Oregon, which my understanding is, which it means it's either Oregon, I think it's either Oregon or Utah is what I've heard. And if that's the case and he chooses Oregon, Utah fans, take a deep breath. It's okay. It doesn't mean we suck at or in-state recruiting. I cannot speak today. This is ridiculous. It doesn't mean we suck at in-state recruiting. It doesn't mean that we're doing anything else that's really a problem. Like, be happy with this recruiting class. We got some game changers that are coming in, whether they're return missionaries, whether they're going on missions, whether they're signing and they're just straight up going to come play. We got impact players.
if we miss out on one in-state recruit, it is not the end of the world.
Yeah, and when you start to break down the class, and I'll talk about the whole class here in a minute, it's a great class, and in-state recruiting isn't what defines Utah anymore. It was when they were in the Mountain West. It was when they were competing with Utah State and BYU, who, oh, by the way, look at BYU's class. Give yourself a chuckle. They're in a lot of trouble. The class is lacking in elite talent, let's just say that. But yeah, we're going to break down the class in a minute here, and you'll see there's a lot to be happy about, even though Sewell is probably not going to be a Ute, and Utah did want him and did pursue him, but you don't win them all in this game.
No, you don't.
So this class is really good. A lot to be excited about, a lot of good players. I want to go over the returning missionaries and guys because you don't hear about them as much. We've got R.J. Hubert. He's like a 6-foot-ish safety, super athletic, 6'7", broad jump, really, really impressive physical talent. I think will make a good addition to that Ute secondary backfield of just ball hawks, go up and get it kind of guys. I'm excited to see what he can do. Then we got Cole Fotheringham out of the same high school as Travis Wilson and some other players Utah likes to go after, like develop that relationship with San Clemente High School. And he's a big, strong tight end. I think he's got a good future here. He's more of a traditional tight end, really got recruited in a time when they were using traditional tight ends. And Troy Taylor seems to be moving to a slightly underside hybrid fullback tight end role, but they're going to find a place for him in the field. He's an exceptional athlete, going to be really good. And then we mission poached, which is bad when BYU does it, but good when Utah does it. A gentleman named Simi Moala, 6'7", 240, 250. He's listed as a defensive end, 3-star out of Los Angeles. I think probably looking at his body type, he probably projects to the offensive line a little bit more. But at that size, it's going to depend on how he grows into it and what he measures at when we get him in and see what it looks like. It's one that I'm really going to be watching is these return missionaries when they're on the roster, when they've been weighed, measured by Ute staff, and we can see what we really have. Maybe he comes in and he's actually 6'5", 260. We're thinking, oh, maybe he is a tackle or an end. You know, we don't know, and we'll see. So those are the missionaries. There's also Bronson Boyd, who was out a year for a transfer, 6'3", 220 wide receiver. And of course, Britton Covey returning. He was a freshman All-American 3 seasons ago, and now he is back. And we got to see him in the slot. We're going to see him returning punts. I am excited to see what Troy Taylor does with this exceptional little guy. And that's to add to Terrell Perriman, 3-star wideout out of Miami, excellent slot player, 5'11", not quite as big as some of these other guys, but really strong, really fast, and dangerous wide receiver, heavily recruited by serious big ticket programs in Florida. And then we've got Solomon Ennis, who committed today, signed over in a bunch of other schools, and was a direct benefit of Utah choosing a more aggressive strategy. They left some room. They didn't bother to sign everybody. And when he looked at the landscape after early signing day, said, oh, these guys signed 4 wide receivers, and these guys maybe don't really have room, want me to gray shirt. Utah stuck with me. They were committed, and it worked. And he's a player who's got to be the best wide receiver Utah has ever signed. Utah has a 4-star quarterback and a 4-star wide receiver. Wide receiver for the University of Utah Utes in this class. And as an offensive class, it's very exciting. The only one we're waiting on is Penei Sewell, who is probably a no, like Grant and I were saying. And yeah, I'm just pulling on Twitter right now, and it looks like he is a Oregon commit. Good for him. Good luck. Utah had a great class, not as big as other classes because of these Bush forwards we discussed, but overall, among the most competitive classes in the West. And I would say, except for the four big guys, except for USC, Washington, UCLA, and Oregon, we're always going to recruit better than Utes. Utah's got the best class, got the best athletes, and I am just really excited to see what they can do. So go review the podcast. Tell everybody how great it was. Or if you didn't think it was so great, send us an email. Get us on Twitter. Tell us what you didn't like, and we'll fix it. Without further ado, go Utes.